Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Just wanted to remind you at the beginning, Luke's English podcast is free, but I can do this podcast only with help from you. And that means either you can just send me a donation if you fancy it, or if you want to, you can take advantage of the offer that I have with Audible and you can download a free audiobook. Just go to audibletrial.com/teacherluke. You can start a 30-day trial with them. That includes the download of an audiobook. If you don't like their service, you can cancel and keep the audiobook. So it's like a free audiobook. And every time someone does that, I get a little bit of support from Audible. Okay, so why don't you try that? It's a good way to, you know, it's just everyone's happy, aren't they? If you do that, you, me, them, everyone benefits. So why not give it a try? Okay, now let's get started with a brand new episode of Luke's English podcast. And here it is. Actually, just before we get started, there is something else that I should let you know, and that is that this episode contains some strong language and some rude content. So if you don't like that kind of thing, if you get offended easily by people talking about taboo subjects or just rude stuff, then just be prepared, because there is a bit of that in this episode, all right? It does get a little bit rude from time to time in this particular one, just because the words that we end up talking about, the words of the year, are a little bit risky and slightly related to slightly taboo and rude subjects. All right, I thought I'd just let you know that, just so that you can be prepared, basically. All right, then, now let's really get started with this new episode, and here we go.
You're listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Right then. Let's get down to business. Yeah, let's get started with this podcast thing. Don't worry, I haven't become a Cockney or anything. It's just the way I just, for some reason, decided to start speaking in this episode. But, right, so welcome to part two of this series. I guess it's going to become another mini-series. Welcome to part two of this mini-series about the Collins Dictionary Words of the Year 2015. What happened recently is that I had Amber and Paul over to the flat, and we talked about this list of new words that Collins are introducing into their online dictionary this year. And these are all words. It's a list of 10 words that apparently we've been using a lot this year in English. When I say we, I don't mean just Paul, Amber and me. That we would be a weird sort of sample if they use just us as their measure of the way the words are being used. No, I mean that generally, I think in the UK, this mainly is focused on the UK. These are new words that have been used a lot in the UK this year. And Collins are introducing these 10 words into their online dictionary. Okay, so... basically, Collins have judged them to be worthy of addition in the dictionary. All of these words relate to new trends in our culture over the last year, sort of new stuff that's been happening. And, you know, because all these new things have been going on, often related to lifestyle or technology, it seems that new words have come into being words that we sort of need in order to talk about these new parts of our lifestyle. All right, so this is not just about language, it's also about culture as well. And in this series, I'm playing you chunks of the conversation that I had with Amber and Paul. I've broken the conversation up into chunks. So I'm playing you a chunk, and then pausing that, and then clarifying some of the grammar, vocabulary and pronunciation that you heard in that chunk. And then playing another chunk of the conversation. So instead of just playing the whole conversation in one go, I'm breaking it up and clarifying and explaining language in between. So you're getting to hear some natural conversation, but also you're getting some intensive language teaching too. And hopefully This is the best of both worlds for you as a listener. You get the natural conversation and you get a bit of teaching, and it's all sort of mixed in together. Okay, right now, in part one, we didn't even get to any of the words. We didn't even deal with the 10 words, because the bit of conversation I played to you was just the pre-chat before the actual subject. So it's a bit ridiculous, but, you know, it doesn't matter, does it? No, of course it doesn't. So without any further ado, let's carry on. And let me now play you the next conversation chunk. So here it is, Paul, Amber and me talking about word number 10 in this list of 10 new words. Okay, and here we go. So let's go through the list of 10 words, and we're going to go from sort of bottom to top, meaning we'll end with the word of the year, which is the winner, let's say, of this sort of Collins, it's not a competition, this Collins sort of article. What is it?
It's Collins Observation.
Observation, yeah. By Collins. Okay, so we're going to start with the first word, and let's take it in turns to kind of introduce the words, all right? So the first word in the list is transgender, which is an adjective, transgender, which means of or relating to a person whose gender identity does not fully correspond to the sex assigned to them at birth. So you could say he's transgender or she's transgender, or we talk about transgender issues. Okay, so who is the person that has been in the news a lot this year, who maybe is responsible for bringing the word transgender into our lives so much? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner.
And Laverne Cox, apparently.
Laverne Cox.
I don't know who Laverne Cox is.
I haven't heard of Laverne
apparently
Cox.
Apparently the word has seen an increase of 100%. Since last year, this word.
Wow.
Caitlyn Jenner, I think, made most of the headlines most of the way around the world.
What's the story with Caitlyn Jenner, basically?
Great question. I'm not quite sure. She's something to do with the
Caitlyn
Kardashians.
Caitlyn Jenner's military sport.
Bruce Jenner first.
Bruce Jenner.
Used to be Bruce, now yep. Caitlyn.
Olympic athlete?
Athlete. No. American athlete, runner.
Yep.
Also famous for being the husband of one of the Kardashians.
No.
Yes, I'm sorry to talk about the Kardashians on this show, but let's keep it brief. So he's a famous American celebrity, athlete and reality TV star. His name was Bruce Jenner, famous guy and sort of held up as a great example of an American athlete. You know, and all the sort of macho things we associate with that. But secretly, and maybe not so secretly, later on in his life, he sort of identified with the more feminine aspects of his identity. So he felt like he was much more comfortable when dressed as a woman, and when he was basically considered to be a woman. He felt like he was actually a woman.
Yeah, transgendered is about feeling that you're the wrong gender,
right?
That you were born a boy or a girl, but you feel very much that it's not just about dressing up. It's not transvesticism where you enjoy dressing up in a different way. It's more that you feel like really you are that gender.
Mm. Right.
And he had always felt that he was that gender, but later was able to sort of be open about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was featured in a sort of very high profile interview on American television in which he talked about his decision to become Caitlyn Jenner, and basically the world's media decided that they would refer to him from then on as she and Caitlyn, and Caitlyn was on the front of Vanity Fair, I think.
Yep.
And she's a sort of celebrated sort of high profile woman now.
Mm-hmm.
And that has also sort of raised the debate about transgender issues and stuff like that. I think some people kind of are, well, I think there are three positions on this. One is like, yeah, you go for it, Caitlyn. You know, you can be whoever you want to be. And this is great because it raises the profile of the issue. And there are many people who feel trapped in their lives. And, you know, Caitlyn Jenner showing that she can be a confident transgender person makes everyone feel better about themselves. Other people think that, no, she's a man. And you can't just change your gender, and it's unfair to celebrate this woman When in fact there are many other women who are doing more sort of worthwhile things and the attention should be given to them. And just because a man became a woman doesn't mean that that woman then becomes celebrated for it. Do you know what I mean? Jermaine Greer, I think, is is criticising.
I saw a video a couple of weeks ago about her talking, just being just an idiot, really. Like just
Jermaine Greer.
Yeah, just I don't remember exactly what she was saying, but she was basically against. She was like, I can't consider this person a woman because she was born a man. And
but Jermaine Greer, it comes from a sort of different world.
She's an old school feminist.
She's old school. You know, she wrote The Female Eunuch, and I think it had its place and it had its time. And her position about what feminism should be and how we should address it was perhaps really important, but it has changed. And I think she's not changed with it. But being transgendered is not about being a woman, like from birth. It's, I don't know, it's about being transgendered, about admitting that you're changing that gender. And it doesn't, and feminism, again, Jermaine, is not about, it's not a women's issue, it's a people issue. Yeah. We should all be feminists.
So we've got, you know, some people are like, yeah, it's great thing to celebrate. Other people are like, no, you know, that's ridiculous, we shouldn't be celebrating that. And then other people are going, I don't care, fine,
yeah,
just no problem.
The thing I always have with it, like my position on all these arguments always is like, none of it affects me personally, it's not my life, so I've got no right to say anything about it.
Right.
Like the fact that they have, you know, that we're giving transgender people rights, fantastic.
Yeah,
it's not going to take away any of my rights, so I'm not bothered. Like, stop talking about it. Wait. You know what I mean? Like, stop being against it. Same with the like gay marriage and all that kind of stuff. I was obviously for it.
Yeah,
and because it doesn't affect me. Yeah. Like, it's not my...
No, you're not for it because it doesn't affect you. You're for it because you think it's right.
You think
it's fair.
Right, but what I mean... No. What I'm against is...
I like the way Amber just told you what you're
That's
actually...
What you
no. Yeah, yeah. I'm for
you
it because
you,
it's right.
You thought that you thought this, but in fact, Paul,
yeah, what
you think this.
Yeah, no, what I meant was I don't like people who are against it when it doesn't affect them.
Right, okay. That's a big argument, isn't it? Which, again, we're touching upon another sensitive topic here about the issue of gay marriage, which... I think in some parts of the world they're not, you know, they haven't really come to that debate, you know, in the same way that we have in France or in the UK or in the United States. I think probably some parts of the world are not, I don't know, quite ready for that conversation yet.
They're not ready. I mean, in some parts of the world, women are stoned to death for adultery.
Yeah.
You know, so no, they're not ready for like gay marriage.
Anyway, I feel like to do justice to that subject, we'd need to do a full podcast all about the subject of gay marriage, because I'm sure that people out there listening to this have got strong opinions on it. But
so basically, transgendered, good work, Caitlin.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I think it's absolutely fine.
Three other words that in related to that got added to the dictionary this year as well.
Yeah.
Are cisgender.
Cisgender?
Cisgender.
Never heard of that.
CIS gender, which I believe just means that you do relate to the sex that you were born with.
Okay, so it's basically...
So we would be cisgender, the three of us, because we're not transgender, we're cisgender.
CIS
gender.
Cisgender is just like not transgender, basically.
I think so, yeah. There's misgender as well that got added.
Misgender.
Which is used when you might
misgender,
say...
Misgender, 2015. It's Caitlin Jenner. How do you feel, Caitlin? Well, obviously, I'm very delighted. Anyway, that's a joke.
Misgender is used like, the media have misgendered this person. It means that they've wrongly gendered a person.
So it's a verb, to misgender someone.
Yes, to misgender someone. And to go along with that, which is kind of cool, apparently MX has been added. Like, you know when you say, like on a form, you say Mr. MR... or Mrs. like MRS or MS before your name.
You can put
MX now, which means I'm not willing to give you my...
MX?
It's gender under X.
Just
it's
unidentified gender.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So you can use that to refer to yourself, but can I write a letter to someone?
Dear
and can I
MX.
Write, Dear MX Taylor?
Maybe. I guess that's part of the usage. Yeah, if you don't know the person's, you know, like for example, well, I'm trying to think of a name that could be both male and female and spelt the same.
Loads.
There's loads.
But anyway, one of those. Yeah, if you don't know exactly the name, especially if it's a foreign name, right? There's been times where when I used to, you know, work on a global team and we used to have people, I used to see their names. I'm like, And we used to have to assign them hotel rooms where we were staying. I'm like, I don't know if this person is male or female.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could be used in that context as well. If you're unsure and you don't want to, you don't want to offend them by saying Mr. or Mrs. You can put MX.
Okay.
Apparently, that's been added.
I'm sure that some people find that ridiculous, but I don't see any problem with it myself, really.
That'll be the third tour, the third door in the toilets. It'll be Mr., Mrs., and MX.
And then MX, for which is who, just. Yeah,
just
haven't decided yet.
Maybe not.
Okay, all right. So
that's one of the words.
To misgender someone. My students misgender people all the time.
I thought they were going
to
say they misgender you.
they do misgender. They misgender everyone. Because
they talk about his and hers. It's the French thing.
Yeah, the people say she instead of he by mistake.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
You know, it's like a really embarrassing mistake that learners of English make sometimes, that they sometimes say she and they mean he. Mm. It's hilarious. okay, so that was transgender. That's the first one. Let's go to the next word. Yeah. So we're going down from 10 to 1. This is number 9. Okay, so let me just pause that conversation chunk now and explain some stuff that you just heard. Okay, so we just talked about word 10, which was the word transgender. It's, by the way, it's one word, just a single word, not hyphenated, just one single word, transgender. Obviously, the definition being that it's an adjective meaning of or relating to a person whose gender identity does not fully correspond to the sex assigned to them at birth. So someone who's born a boy, for example, and later on in their life they realize that they feel like that's not their identity. They might have the body of a boy, but they might identify with being a woman, and you could say that person is transgender. Sometimes that person will undergo operations and stuff in order to like adapt their body so that they are a woman. So there you go. That's a transgender person. He's transgender, she's transgender, or transgender issues. So we talked about the case of Caitlyn Jenner, formerly known as Bruce Jenner. And here's some of the language that you heard us using. Someone said he was held up as a great example of an American athlete. And there is a phrasal verb, to be held up as something. Now, if you listen to my other podcast, which is called A Phrasal Verb a Day, then you probably knew that phrasal verb already, because I've already dealt with that previously. But anyway, to hold someone up as something, or to be held up as something, and it's usually passive, to be held up as something. That means that basically, sort of society has decided that you have a high status as an example of something. So he's held up, you know, he's held up as an example of an American athlete. So someone's kind of given high status, maybe because they represent something in society. Okay, so you know, like Jimi Hendrix is held up as one of the greatest guitarists that we've ever had, for example. In this case, Bruce Jenner was held up as a great example of an American athlete. Okay, next bit of language. He identified as female. Okay, and this is the phrase to identify as. And this is the expression that we use, or this is the expression that is used to say that someone feels like they have a particular identity. And it's a way of a person associating themselves with a particular ethnic or gender identity. Okay. For example, well, we have Caitlyn Jenner, you know, Bruce Jenner identified as female, you know, but also there have been other cases this year. Did you hear about the case of Rachel Dolezal? Rachel Dolezal, who she was in America. She worked as a civil rights leader or civil rights campaigner in Washington, normally sort of representing the rights of like African American people. And she was criticized in the media, or in fact shamed in the media, for lying about her ethnicity, because she basically tried to pass herself off as Black American while campaigning for equal rights issues, but actually she was white. So she was in the media pretty much saying, yeah, I'm Black. I don't think she ever actually said she was Black, but just everything she did and everything she said was basically saying that, you know, she thought, or she was Black. She was passing herself off as Black, when in fact she was white. A very weird case Even her parents were in the media because, you know, after she was discovered and people were saying, wait a minute, you know, she's campaigning for equal rights issues as if she's an African-American. But wait a minute, she's white, isn't she? Has anyone else noticed? And her parents were interviewed on television, and the parents, both of them white, like really white, like no question. The parents were like, yeah, she's Caucasian. She's white. Part of this was that she had like an adopted son, and she was claiming that the son was actually her natural son, and the son was like, you know, black. I mean, there's nothing wrong with mixing it up and stuff. It's just that it seemed to be kind of dishonest or something, and a pretty strange thing to do, to like lie about your ethnicity. And lots of people were really angry about this, saying you can't just say that you're black and pretend to be a victim of discrimination when you're obviously white. You know, it's like everyone just needed her. Everyone seemed to be desperate for her to admit it. Like, okay, everybody, okay, admit it. I'm white. All right. Are you happy now? So, you know, she kept being hounded by the media and comments in social networks and stuff like that. And when she was criticized for this, instead of admitting it, she just kept sort of, instead of admitting that she was lying, and also instead of actually saying, yes, I'm black, which obviously wasn't true, she kept saying, well, I identify as black. Which is not the same as saying I am black. She's just saying I identify as black. So it's just a complex issue. Some people say that you can identify as a woman, and for some reason that's all right, but you can't identify as a different ethnicity because it's somehow different. Anyway, this was another trending story this year, and there's a link to the web. There's a link on my website where you can read more about that. But anyway, the expression was to identify as something. Okay, and in this case, we've got to identify as black, or identify as African-American, or identify as a woman. Okay, all right then. So other similar or other related words, we have transvesticism or a transvestite. So a transvestite is different to a transgender person. Transgender is usually a man, could be a woman, but usually a man who identifies as a woman, even though physically he's a man, or the other way around, could be a woman who identifies as a man. And a transvestite is a person who enjoys dressing as a member of the opposite sex for whatever reason. So it's just someone who dresses in, like, it's a man who dresses in woman's clothing. That's a transvestite. It's not a man who really feels that he's a woman. Or a man trapped in a woman trapped inside a man's body. Okay, so for some reason this is far more it's more shocking for a man to dress as a woman than it is for a woman to dress as a man, isn't it? Like, you often see women might wear sort of male clothes and it's kind of cool. Like, you had Diane Keaton, the actress Diane Keaton, from, she was in a couple of Woody Allen films, and in one of those films she dresses in male clothes, and that's kind of cool and even sexy. But if a man dresses as a woman, he's considered to be some sort of freak. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird the way these things work. And I try to explain the positions on transgender and on Caitlyn Jenner. And basically three positions were: one, it's a good thing; two, it's a bad thing; and number three, I don't really care. Okay. We went on to talk about Germaine Greer, who is this feminist writer. She wrote a book called The Female Eunuch. And we said, you know, she's old school. So to say that someone is old school, in fact, she's an old school feminist. Old school just means old fashioned. It doesn't specifically mean that they went to an old school. It just means old fashioned. Okay. Old school music is like old fashioned music, or old school hip hop is old, like hip hop from the 1980s, for example. So an old school feminist is just an old fashioned feminist. Okay. And someone said, her position, oh no, this is the position of Germaine Greer. She basically thinks that, oh no, this is what, okay, this is what Amber said. I just thought I'd repeat it just so that you get it. She said her position about what feminism should be and how we should address it was important, but it has changed, and I think she's not changed with it. Okay, now let's see if you can just repeat that after me. Her position... Wait, hold on, let me start again. Okay, you ready? Her position about what feminism should be and how we should address it was important, but it has changed, and I think she's not changed with it. Okay, so by the way, when I'm going, that's you. That's where you're talking, all right? I'm just sort of giving you the rhythm. Okay. Also, in this part of the conversation, I talked over Paul quite a lot. To talk over someone is, you know, someone's talking and you talk at the same time a little bit louder. I talked over Paul quite a lot when he was talking about same-sex marriage there. Sorry, Paul, didn't mean to talk over you. It's very rude of me. Another word that we had in the conversation there was cisgender. Cisgender, which is an adjective. C-I-S gender, it just means like not transgender. Okay. And then we also have to misgender someone, which is a verb, which is not some sort of transgender competition. No, it's not like misgender 2015. No, misgender is just a verb which means to wrongly gender someone, or to sort of give someone the wrong gender. Like if you call, if you say that Caitlyn Jenner is, oh, maybe Caitlyn Jenner is a bad example. If you say, you know, Pamela Anderson's a man, obviously it's wrong, isn't it? I guess it's obvious that Pamela Anderson isn't a man, so you can't misgender Pamela Anderson. But, you know, who knows? Hollywood is a weird place. Maybe one day we're going to discover that Pamela Anderson was, in fact, a bloke. And thousands, millions of men around the world will suddenly take a very long shower. Oh, I need to get clean. That may be what some men will do. Anyway. And then Paul or someone mentioned the idea of MX. MX. So... obviously, we have Mr., which is MR, Mrs., MRS, Miss, MISS, MS, or Ms., which is like when you don't know if a woman is married or not, you can just write MS, Ms., like Ms. Smith. But now, apparently, we have MX, which just can mean a man, a woman, a married man, an unmarried man, a married woman, an unmarried woman, a transgender person, whatever. So MX, I actually quite like MX. I think it solves a lot of our problems because, to be honest, sometimes it is a problem, especially when you're dealing with Miss and Mrs. and Ms. Because sometimes you don't want to, you don't know if a woman is married, so you don't want to offend her by writing Mrs. or Miss, and Ms. sounds a bit kind of, I don't know, you know, it just seems a bit. Ms. It's like even difficult to say, but MX, fine. Just we don't know what gender you are. Let's make it simple. Just use MX. I'm sure some of you are out there thinking you can't use MX. It's just wrong. Well, that's a debate, isn't it? That is a debate about the nature of language and the way that language does change. It does. It just changes. It moves with the times and it changes. And if we're living in a society where the boundaries between, you know, male and female are becoming more vague, then maybe the language needs to reflect that. Or maybe, on the other hand, you're thinking to yourself, no, we, you know, this is ridiculous. A man is a man and a woman is a woman, so the language should be black and white. We should have Mr. and Mrs. and you know, and that's that. And some of you also might think, well, if we start, you know, if we start saying that a man can be a woman if he wants to and a woman can be a man, then what's next? We're going to have a man saying that he wants to be a monkey or a woman who wants to be an elephant. You know, where do we draw the line? Well, I don't agree with that argument myself, because obviously it's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, just because a man is becoming a woman doesn't mean that we take that to some extreme conclusion as a logical step. No, it's the same thing with same-sex marriage. This is a controversial subject because as you heard in our conversation, it seemed, I'm sure that in many parts of the world, I don't know, you might not be comfortable with that conversation about same-sex marriage. Am I going to go there? Am I going to talk about that? Well, one of the arguments that people make about against same-sex marriage is this. They say, well, if you let people of the same gender marry each other, then what's next? Next thing you know, people are going to want to marry, are you going to let a man marry his son? Are you going to let a man marry a cow? You know, what's next? And I think that's ridiculous, really, because just if you let two men marry each other or two women marry each other, I don't believe it's a logical conclusion that then in the world we're going to want to marry animals or members of our family. I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? And also saying that is like suggesting that gay people are animals, don't you think? That if you say, well, if you let a man marry another man, then what's next? Men are going to marry animals. Well, wait a minute. You know, they're not. These are people we're talking about. We're talking about letting people marry each other. We're not talking about letting people marry, you know, like a cat or something. I mean, that's clearly different. Anyway, I don't want to get drawn into that debate because, I mean, you know, you only need to look in at some places in the world, like even close to home, like in France, where that's clearly a very strong issue and people feel very strongly and passionately about it. I don't want to annoy you or get your back up. So let's move on, shall we? Yes, I think we'll move on. In fact, that was all the language from the possibly controversial subject of transgender. That was word 10. So now let's move on to listen to the conversation chunk relating to word 9. And here it is. So we're going down from 10 to 1. This is number 9 now, isn't it? So, Amber, do you want to do this one?
In at number 9 is swipe, to swipe, a verb, which is to move your finger across a touch screen on a mobile phone in order to approve, swipe right, or dismiss, swipe left, an image.
Right.
I think we know what image, don't we?
Swipe right or swipe left. And we're talking about Tinder.
Tinder. Yeah, we must be talking about Tinder. Yeah.
Everyone's been talking about Tinder this year. Do you realise that people, you know, sometimes listen to these episodes quite a long time after they were recorded? Mm-hmm. Mm. So I imagine there'll be people listening to this in the future, and they'll be going, Tinder? Ridiculous. Yeah. So,
that old thing.
So 2015.
Yeah.
But it's been a trending thing over the last
couple of years. We are probably the worst people to talk about it since all three of us are in long-term relationships.
Well,
have you signed up?
Nico did.
Did he? Why did he sign up?
He signed because we wanted to swipe because my sister was round swiping away. And every time she came round, we were desperate to like get on and have a swipe. And so then Nico, he signed up. And
just
then,
so he could swipe.
And then it started off as a bit of a laugh. And then I was like, yo, but if you sign up, you need to like someone. And then I thought, no, don't like anyone. You need to unsign.
You know what guys do.
So he's just been swiping left the whole time.
Because there's just lots of pretty girls out there. And then I thought, if anyone, you know, it could be.
That's what guys do, though. The rule about Tinder, the unwritten rule, is that guys just swipe everyone yes. Doesn't matter.
Seriously?
Yeah. And then it's up to the women to then.
Make a match
or not.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a guy. There was even a video online about of a guy who got like a motor a slab of meat, like a steak that just circled around and touched his phone every 1 second. It just went round, so it was just like an automatic
like a sausage on a stick attached to a machine that just automatically swiped everything right.
Yeah.
So basically
filthy.
Men just go swipe right and they're like, I will do anything. I don't care. I don't even need to look at it.
Basically,
or at her, I should say, really.
Who's
I don't want to misgender anyone.
Well, and the thing is, though, Tinder, it's very rude. Because then, like, the follow-up, I thought it was, you know, a bit more relaxed, you know, everyone internet dating. But then it's quite quickly quite pornographic.
Mm.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People get messages straight away being like, right, where do you live? I want to do you.
Or naughty, naughty pictures.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yes.
There's a word for a naughty pic.
What's that?
Isn't there?
Well, for the male version, yeah.
The male version. Yeah, it's a dick pic.
A dick pic,
I think since we're talking about trending words, that is a rude word, everybody. I'm sure you identified that when you heard it. But, there's another trending word, though. A dick pic. It's not a very nice phrase. It's not something you should use when your grandparents are around.
Hello,
Gran.
I don't know if it's a
look
tit
at my new phone.
A tit pic.
Is there a tit pic as well?
I don't think
I've never
so.
Heard
maybe.
Of that.
Or a pussy pic. I don't know.
I don't know. No, I doubt it.
I mean, why?
Really?
To be fair, it's only men that do that. No, I'm not even going to go there.
Don't go there, Paul. Don't go there.
There's a guy who's He's been very inventive with his dick pics.
You're going there, Paul, aren't you? Going there.
He's dipping his toe in.
It's actually very, very, very funny, and it's very artistic.
Well, there was that puppet show, wasn't there? Not puppet, but there's that penis theatre.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
That reminds that.
No, I don't remember, Anne, because I don't know if you believe me, but I haven't watched Penis Theatre. It's not my kind of entertainment, to be honest. You know, I'm not like, that's not what I do in my free time. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, you know, I've got a little bit of free time. I know. I'm going to see if there are any penis-related forms of entertainment out there beyond porn. Maybe like more family-based. No, that's not what I'm interested in. Okay. But anyway, go on. Tell us about Penis Theatre.
Well, he just sculpted somehow his penis into shapes. It was like a...
Oh, this is maybe the same... Well, there's a guy basically who I think has done something similar where it's just he's basically taken pictures of his phallus and just added like smiley faces and things like that in different positions. They're actually quite funny.
I have heard of that.
It's been like on my Facebook for the last 2 days, like people just liking it and sharing the thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's hilarious. I mean, it doesn't look like you're looking at a penis, but you are.
So basically you spend a lot of your time looking at other people's penises on the internet.
I do.
Oh my goodness.
I do.
Oh my. So it was swipe left and swipe right on an app called Tinder, which is a dating app where basically people put their pictures on there, and it's a very simple way of deciding if you're interested in someone. The pictures come up, and if you're interested in them, you swipe right, and if you're not interested, you swipe left. And if you swipe someone right and they swipe you right, then it takes it to the next stage, and you can chat with the person, and then you can arrange to meet up and do each other. Right, that seems to be what this is all about.
It is.
Yeah.
I think we should do that for comedy. I think we should have a swipe left, swipe right for comedy. You know, it's like I'm going to tell you a joke, then you all get to swipe left, swipe right.
Things though, if all the audience just swipe left all the time, there'll be no show, right? Yeah. We've got five comedians.
Fair, when they laugh, that is basically swipe left. I don't know if swipe left is accept or deny. It doesn't matter.
Swipe left is dismiss, and swipe right is accept. Okay, so that was word 9, to swipe. Swipe left or swipe right. And there was some rude language and rude content there, which I'm sure that some of you will be very glad to hear, because I know that some of you love that kind of thing. Anyway, there it is. That's what's been in our culture for the last 12 months, like the whole Twitter phenomenon and everything that goes along with it.
No, not Twitter, not the whole Twitter phenomenon, the whole Tinder phenomenon. I meant to say Tinder, I said Twitter by mistake. Anyway. I'm just interrupting myself. The whole Tinder phenomenon. Okay, right, let's carry on.
The whole
Tinder
phenomenon and everything that goes along with it, including the language that we associate with it. Some rude stuff, but it's just a bit of fun. Don't take it too seriously. So let me go through some of the language. So we had the word swipe, okay, swipe, which is a verb. Move a finger across a touch screen on a mobile phone in order to approve, swipe right, or dismiss, swipe left, an image. Okay, so swipe was already a word, like swipe with your hand, but this is the specific use of swipe right or swipe left to mean accept or reject someone on a dating app. Tinder, of course, is the app, and you heard us explain what Tinder is all about. So Tinder, let's look at the pronunciation of Tinder. Someone said Tinder, like that. I don't know who it was who said that, but Tinder... Now, notice that pronunciation, which is done with surprise and maybe disdain, like Tinder. Okay. Now, can you do that? So that obviously normally you'd say, yeah, I'm on Tinder. You're on Tinder, like that. Okay. Tinder. You know, you could do that intonation with anything. It's like, what are you drinking? Orange juice. Orange juice? You're drinking orange juice? You know, or it could be... So what are you going to do later? Oh, I'm just going to go to the cinema. The cinema? Oh, that's sad. Okay, obviously the cinema isn't sad. It's all right. But another thing would be like, oh, so which film are you going to see? Oh, I'm going to see Twilight. You're going to see Twilight? What, are you a teenage girl? You know, that kind of intonation. What's that app? Oh, Tinder. Tinder? You're on Tinder. So surprise and disdain, like that. Okay. Next phrase is to sign up. And I imagine that,
Well, do you know the phrase to sign up? It's just when you join an application, like you join a website service, or when you join Tinder, you would sign up. You'd sign up to Twitter. Yeah, you can sign up to Twitter and sign up to Tinder and sign up to Facebook. So once you've signed up, you've registered all your details, and then you, every time you go on, you don't sign up, you log in, don't you? So sign up means become a member of it, and then log in means like enter into it. Okay, by adding your ID and your password. The unwritten rule. You heard, I think it was Paul who said the unwritten rule. So have you ever heard that phrase, an unwritten rule or the unwritten rules? Well, apparently an unwritten rule of Tinder is that men just accept all the girls and girls are more selective. So that's the unwritten rule of Tinder. You know, there are various other unwritten rules. For example, unwritten rules of using the tube in London. You know, one of the unwritten rules is that you let people off the train before you get on. So when the train comes, the doors open, and you don't try and shove into the train immediately. No, you wait and you let people off before you get on. And it's not written anywhere. It's just an unwritten rule. And in fact, if you break that rule in London, then people will they will get annoyed with you. If you try and squeeze into the train before people have got out, then people will say things like, you know, let people off the train first, please. And it's just one of the unwritten rules of using the tube. If you want to know more about how to use the tube, go back to one of my previous episodes. Again, I don't remember the number, but it's called Mind the Gap, How to Use the London Underground. So that was the unwritten rule. Another bit of language, to make a match. Make a match. It's just to match with someone, to make a match. Okay. For example, if you just find two things that match, or if you find someone that matches you, you make a match. It's just to match things together, to make a match. Okay. Now you heard I was trying to avoid using too many swear words in this section, and you heard me say, I will do anything. So do here means to have sex with. Okay, so to do someone is to have sex with someone. To screw someone as well is another word. And it's basically an alternative to the F word. You know the one I mean. Yeah, friend? No. Anyway, to fun? No, it's not fun either. You know the word. It's fuck. All right, fuck. There you go, fine. Some of you are shocked at this moment. Some of you are laughing. And some of you are asleep, I imagine. I don't know. But anyway, I will do anything. So do just means to have sex with. Okay. Yes, it was rude, this section. But, you know, we're talking about Tinder. Welcome to the 21st century, I suppose. All right. So next, naughty pictures. Naughty. Now, you know the word naughty, don't you? There's sort of two meanings of naughty. One of them is a word you would use to describe someone who's badly behaved, like a child or a dog or something. You know, don't be naughty. You know, naughty boy, you'd say to a child who was doing something wrong. You know, usually the example is a child who's stolen some biscuits. Biscuits are always a good example, aren't they? So, you know, little boy called Jeffrey. No, Jeffrey, no, don't be naughty. You're not allowed to take those biscuits. So to do something naughty. But the other meaning of naughty, which is a bit weird considering the first meaning. But anyway, the other meaning of naughty is sort of something a bit sexual. So naughty pictures means like sexy pictures. So naughty can mean sexy as well. But I mean, in terms of like that sort of slightly, what's the word for it? Prohibited sexual acts, not very serious, not criminal ones, but just sort of like sexy, but with a sense of you're not supposed to be doing it. So, you know, to do something naughty in the bedroom. Yeah, maybe this is a particularly British thing. Maybe we've got a bit of a hang up about sex, that we're still a little bit awkward about sex. And so we treat it with this kind of level of sort of taboo. Unlike in other countries where people are just a lot more sort of comfortable and open about it, in the UK, we still find it to be a little bit I don't know, we feel there's some level of guilt involved. I think this is probably from our Puritan sort of religious past. The Victorians were very uncomfortable about sex and very shy about their bodies, and they wouldn't reveal their body parts, and they would consider sex to be sort of a sinful act and something you should feel guilty about. And this is still in our culture, you know, less so these days, but certainly older generations still consider sex to be a sort of a taboo thing, a naughty thing that you shouldn't be doing. So anyway, naughty pictures, right? And then we ended up talking specifically about what kind of naughty pictures. And yes, we had the expression dick pics. Well, you know what a dick pic is. We also had a tit pic. I'd never heard of a tit pic before, but a tit, you know what a tit is. Again, sorry, listeners, if you're offended by rude language, but this won't last long. Tit pic is a picture of someone's tit. A tit is a breast, isn't it? Yeah. Tits, boobs, breasts. Okay. And then also we had the word pussy pic. That's a word that some people don't like. Like my mum really has a problem with the word, with that word pussy. And I don't know, there's something very sort of unsophisticated about the word. Anyway, pussy pic. I've never heard of a pussy pic before. Don't go there. Now, this is a phrase that you can use when someone is going to start talking about a dodgy subject, or when someone's going to start talking about a sensitive or dangerous or possibly offensive subject, or a subject that could cause offense. And you'd say, look, don't go there. Don't go there. Meaning don't start talking about that. Don't go there. Okay. And then, you know, you're going there, aren't you? You're going there. Meaning you're going to start talking about that subject. So you've got like, don't go there. And then you could say, don't take me there, which means don't make me talk about that subject. Okay. Like, you know, oh yeah, did you see the thing on the internet about the guy who takes pictures of himself? Oh, don't go there, Paul. Don't go there. Oh, well, don't take me there. You're the one who started it. And it's like, anyway, let me tell you about the pictures. Oh, you're going there. You know, that kind of thing. So it's, don't go there. Don't talk about that. He's dipping his toe in, I said. So Amber said, look, Paul, don't go there. And Paul continued to talk about what the guy who sculpts his penis into different pictures. And he continued talking about it. And Amber said, oh, you're going there. And I said, well, he's dipping his toe in. Now, if you dip your toe in, it's like you put your toe in the swimming pool, or you dip your toe into the bath, you know, just to test the temperature of the water. So if you like just start doing something in order to test it out, you dip your toe in. He's dipping his toe into the water like he's going to go there. He's just dipping his toe in now, but he might just dive in completely. Okay, just an analogy, yeah? Apparently, this guy that Paul was talking about, he's taken pictures of his phallus. Well, a phallus is a penis, isn't it? Yeah. And there are other words for the penis. You've got like, you know, medical or clinical sort of words like the penis, the phallus. And then informal words. There are informal words for your penis which are not that rude, like the willy. Like the word willy is a word. It's, you know, like a sort of word that a child would use, you know, like... I don't want to give an example of a child talking about his willy, okay? I'm not going to go there, all right? And then there are other words to talk about a penis which are suggestive but not out-and-out swear words. So these are suggestive words that are a little bit naughty but not fully rude, you know? And these are words like a tadger, a member, and a private part or your private parts. So his tadger, you know... What, like he's taken a pic, you know, what this guy did is he took a few pictures of his tadger and he put them on the internet. A tadger, it's a funny word, isn't it? Member, you know, it's like, you know, he took a photograph of his member. It's suggestive. It's not a direct swear word. And then we've got direct rude words. These words that you might know, like prick, cock and dick. There you go. All right, so that was the rude section about word number 9, all relating to Tinder. Interesting, that stuff. And so, okay, I'm going to play you now word 8, This is the conversation chunk or conversation section about word eight. I'm going to play you that, and then I'll go through the language for word eight, and then that'll probably be enough for this episode. So yeah, it's definitely a series. I guess this is going to be, what, three or four episodes about the words of the year, which is all right, you know, lots of language, and it's all current and relevant. Okay, so here comes the conversation chunk about word eight, and here it is. Okay, so now we're on to word number eight in a list of ten. Paul?
Shaming, which is a noun, which is the attempt to embarrass a person or a group by drawing attention to their perceived offence, especially on social media. So you would use it like, you know, I'm good. Well, you could. It could be a verb as well. Like, I'm going to shame you online. Like, I'm someone shaming, but shaming, yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be the equivalent of, I'm trying to think of something recently that I've read or seen where somebody shamed someone.
I can think of an example of public shaming on the internet. This is the story of a woman called Justine Sacco, who worked for a company, an American corporation called IAC, which is like a big media company. And she ended up getting really badly publicly shamed on Twitter. And she made a really stupid mistake, and it kind of ruined her life, basically, in a matter of hours. So what happened was, she was taking a flight to somewhere in Africa, I'm not sure where. Just after she'd boarded the plane and before the plane took off, the last thing she did was she tweeted this tweet, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was basically this: I'm just about to fly to Africa. I hope I don't get AIDS, but oh, actually, I probably won't because I'm white. Okay, now, terrible joke, like a huge mistake. Why would you tweet that? I mean, it's
yeah, but she was trying.
She's trying to be funny, but you know,
she was trying to be funny by also like not by awkwardly implying that it's very unfair,
right?
How, you know, that there is this massive problem in Africa and it's less of a problem in Europe and in the States because there's all these drugs and they have all this health and support. So she was kind of...
So her intention was actually quite good because she wanted to try and, by using an ironic joke, she wanted to highlight the inequality in, you know, in Africa and the fact that only certain types of people are getting AIDS, for example, and that's a bad thing. So she had the right intentions, but she tweeted this... I mean, it's a dangerous thing because, like, if you put that sort of thing on Twitter, even if your intention is good, the chances are people are going to misunderstand and they're going to have a knee-jerk reaction and they will respond in a very angry way. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. So she tweeted it and she went, "Oh, there's my funny little joker. That's very clever, great. And now I'll enjoy my flight." She turned off her phone, and while she was in the air, Twitter decided to just everyone on Twitter decided to shame her. Mm-hmm. So there was like a huge load of tweets just shaming her. Everyone was like really shocked, completely misunderstanding the intention of her joke. And by the time she landed and switched on her phone, apparently one of her friends texted her and said, "I think you need to look at Twitter." Or one of her friends texted her and said, "I'm really sorry about what's happening on Twitter. Are you all right?" And she was like, "What do you mean what happened on Twitter?" And then she checked and she saw all of this stuff, you know, all these people abusing her, people calling for her to quit her job. Her boss had fired her, so she'd lost her job during the flight. Everything went horribly wrong in a massive way. And it's because of the way that she was shamed online. Twitter.
Yeah. There was the one that was recently was an Uber driver got beaten up by an executive of Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
So this executive,
he got beaten up.
Yeah. So this executive got he's an executive at Taco Bell, got into an Uber car.
Yeah.
Completely wasted, completely off his face,
drunk.
And, yeah. And he couldn't. He wouldn't. For some reason, he wouldn't give the Uber driver the directions to his house, and he was slurring his words and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so eventually, the Uber driver pulled over into a car park and just said, "You need to get out of my car.
Yeah.
You're too drunk." And
right. Uber taxis. It's like an online taxi thing.
On his way out of the car, he basically beat the crap out of the driver. Like, started punching him in the face.
Oh.
And then the driver kind of knew that, probably thought this was going to happen, so had some pepper spray handy, managed to get away with it, but the guy got fired from Taco Bell, and because of the onslaught online of like right, the
that's
video.
Not shaming. That's fair. I mean,
that's justice.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, but he still got shamed.
He did get shamed online. Basically, when people found out what had happened, they used Twitter as a way of very publicly criticizing him and abusing him, bringing lots of shame to him. And the result was that he got fired. Maybe there was justice in that. Maybe.
But I feel that shaming sort of implies that there's something unjust about it. Like right. You're making a judgment call on the way that someone looks or what someone does. You know, there was that whole thing about slut shaming, and it was like, you know, just making people feel bad for a perceived error or a perceived, I don't know, just some sort of behaviour which isn't necessarily wrong. That does actually seem...
Well, the thing that woman wrote was pretty deserved.
Well, I mean, did she deserve to lose her job for making a bad joke? See, she didn't think it through, but it wasn't... She wasn't saying... I think Africans maybe. Deserve to get AIDS. She was saying, well, we could say that, I mean, I read it as, I don't think people have fair access to treatment for HIV. I mean, that's a fair statement. Yeah. She just made it in a sort of bit of a gauche way.
She definitely was not making a joke about AIDS. She was trying to make a comment about how unfair the situation is. So that was Justine Sacco's intention, was to actually, you know, make that point, but it was unwise to do it on Twitter. And the thing about public shaming is that people seem to think that shaming someone on Twitter is the right form of punishment for a perceived offence. But in fact, what it is far more damaging and far more destructive than is necessary.
Yeah.
And people, you know, it's a complicated issue, but I think one person writing a shaming comment about someone on Twitter, they feel like it's kind of a small thing. So each individual who takes part doesn't feel the full responsibility of the outcome of it. And so no one actually takes responsibility for it fully. And it's not the proper procedure for bringing someone to justice. You know, if someone has done something wrong, they should be made accountable for it, but it should be done through the proper channels in a way that is, you know, justified and accounted for and everything, rather than just abusing someone into the ground publicly on Twitter. Now, actually, there's a book that deals with this that was released, I think, in the last 12 months.
Can you get it on audible.com?
You can get it on audible.com,
Paul.
Well,
there we go.
In fact, I listened to the audiobook of this book, and it deals with this subject.
What is the book?
The book is called So You've Been Publicly Shamed, and it's by a journalist called John Ronson, who you might know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I heard an interview about this. Mm. So You've Been Publicly Shamed, because he wrote Them and The Psychopath Test.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can your listeners get that book for free if they go to audible.com/teacherluke?
Yes, they can. That's right. If they want to, they can get it free. audibletrial.com/teacherluke. You can just sign up for a 30-day trial with Audible. And that includes one free download. And if they don't like the service, they can cancel their membership but keep the audiobook.
That's crazy.
Essentially, it's, you know, it's a free audiobook. And they could listen to this one. It's genuinely a really, really good book. I loved listening to it. John Ronson is a brilliant narrator. He narrates it himself. Mm. And he's got
an unusual voice.
He's got a slightly unusual voice, which at the beginning is a little bit off-putting, but he actually really draws you into the story. And many of many things in the book are stories about, you know, personal experiences of public shaming, and the way he narrates them, he really brings you in to the point where you really do feel the pain of the person who experienced the public shaming. He's able to look into the subject in enough depth and detail that you get a full understanding of the subject. And it's actually really important and really revealing about modern life and the place of things like technology in modern life. So it's called So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. audibletrial.com/teacherluke. You can get the book.
I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah, you really should.
I love an audiobook.
It's one of the best audiobooks I've listened to for quite a while. We can talk a little bit more about audiobooks in a bit, but let's go back to these words. So that was shaming or public shaming. Okay, so let me go through words that relate to word eight, and that was all. That was the word shaming or public shaming. We had quite a big discussion about public shaming there, including some audiobook recommendations. Let me just fly through some of this clarification. So again, the definition of the word shaming, it's a noun, and it means attempting to embarrass a person or a group of people by drawing attention to their perceived offence, especially on social media. So it's like kind of, actually for me, it's about when someone is perceived to have done something wrong and the internet attacks them for it, making them feel really bad about it. That's what shaming is for me, especially on social media. And we also have to be publicly shamed, which is where, you know, someone is like, it's the same thing, basically. So we had some examples of language like this. She was trying to be funny by awkwardly implying that it's very unfair. She was trying to be funny by awkwardly implying that it's very unfair. So let's look at the word implying. If you imply something, you don't state it directly. You just state it in an indirect way. So to imply something. So you could, you know, imply that someone is lying. You know, for example, if someone at work takes the day off sick and you don't believe that they're sick and they come back to work the next day and they're fine. In fact, they look all fresh-faced and you can say, oh, you look very fresh-faced. I suppose you spent the day in bed, did you? And the person would say, are you implying that I wasn't sick? Don't imply that I wasn't sick like that. I was in bed all day. Thank you very much. And I'm on some very powerful medication. So, you know, don't imply that I'm sick, or don't imply that I was lying. Are you implying that I'm lying? Do you know what the noun is to imply, for imply, the noun? It's an implication, yeah. So anyway, in this case, she was trying to be funny by awkwardly implying that it's very unfair. So I'm talking about that woman who was publicly shamed for the joke that she did on Twitter. It's again, we're talking about a sensitive subject here, and that may be why these are trending words, because the subjects have created a lot of debate and everyone's been talking about these subjects. And so that's why this language is being very frequent this year. So another extract from that chunk was there's a massive problem in Africa and it's less of a problem in Europe. Why did I write that? What's the language feature about that? There's this massive problem in Africa and it's less of a problem in Europe. Well, okay. It's less of a problem, more of a problem and less of a problem, more of a something and less of a something. You know, we have less plus adjectives, like less hot, more cold, but you can also have less or more with a noun. So it's less of an issue, less of a problem. And when you say less or more with a noun, we use of. Less of a problem, more of a misunderstanding, that kind of thing. All right. So here's another extract, and it's this. If you put that on Twitter, the chances are people are going to misunderstand and they're going to have a knee-jerk reaction and they will respond in a very angry way. Okay, so two phrases from that sentence. One of them is the chances are. And this is just a way of saying this is probably going to happen. So, you know, the chances are it's going to rain tomorrow, or the chances are England are never going to win the World Cup ever again. I don't know if that's true. We'll see. The chances are people are going to misunderstand that, you know. The chances are, you know, if you put a joke on Twitter, the chances are people are going to misunderstand it. So there you go. The chances are something is going to happen. Okay? It's just a way of saying it's likely, or there's a big chance that this is going to happen. The chances are that, you know, it's going to be a misunderstanding. Okay? And then the next thing is they're going to have a knee-jerk reaction. What's a knee-jerk reaction? Well, you know, if you cross your legs when you're sitting down so that your leg, one leg is crossed over the other leg and it's kind of hanging there, and if you tap the front of your knee, sometimes your leg jerks That's a knee jerk. That's literally a knee jerk reaction. The doctor does it sometimes. He's got like a little hammer and dunk, he hits your knee and your leg leaps forward. It's kind of weird. It's like it's because there's a nerve, an exposed nerve there in your, when you bend your leg like that, and you can tap the nerve and it causes your leg to jump forwards. That's literally a knee jerk reaction. But in terms of responses to a situation, you can also have a knee jerk reaction. For example, if you see a joke about AIDS on Twitter, it might be that you just immediately react without thinking about it. And your immediate response is like, how dare you joke about this serious subject? That would be a knee-jerk reaction. So it's a response to something where the person just immediately responds in a probably quite an emotional way without really thinking about it. So a knee-jerk reaction, okay? So, for example, you know, if you hear me talk about same-sex marriage on the podcast, you know, I hope that you don't have a knee-jerk reaction and immediately sort of get upset about it or something. Yeah. Okay. So a knee-jerk reaction. All right. Next phrase is this. So an Uber driver got beaten up by an executive of Taco Bell. Well, Uber. I don't know if you've got Uber in your country, but Uber is brilliant, and it's another thing that's really been in the news this year. So Uber is an app on your phone, and it's basically a way to get taxis, except that they're not taxis. So Uber is, so you open up the app on your phone and you open it up and it shows you a map of your local area, and you'll see little cars driving around on the map, little pictures of cars driving around in the area, and you just tap request Uber, and one of those cars will pick up on your request if he's close to you. And you can accept the driver, and then that person will come and to your location, and you can set your destination in the app, and the driver gets the destination in his phone, and so he comes and picks you up in the car, and automatically he knows where you're going, and he then takes you to your destination, and the payment is done online, so you don't need to hand over any cash at the end of the journey. The payment is automatic. It's done online using, you know, credit card details and stuff, and that's that. And it's a little bit cheaper than normal taxis, and it's a bit more reliable because the Uber drivers all have, you know, some sort of like satellite GPS built into their application on their phone. And also, you don't need to worry about, you know, payment, and because the price is fixed. So you don't get the sense the taxi drivers are going to rip you off. So that's Uber. And also, I think anyone can be an Uber driver. I think you need to apply for it, but you don't need to go through a special taxi, you know, process, taxi application process. You can just be an Uber driver. And for the users, it seems to be great because Uber drivers, well, certainly in Paris, they're really friendly. They're more, to be honest with you, they're more friendly. They're friendlier than the normal taxi drivers. I mean, sorry, but that's true. If there are any French taxi drivers listening to this and you're getting upset, I'm sorry, but personal experience, I always have a good experience with Uber drivers. And even if you, as an individual taxi driver, you might be lovely. Many times I've had, you know, rude taxi drivers. Okay, so anyway, the service is nicer and the price is a little bit better. So Uber is like a big taxi service using the internet. It's really, really interesting service. So anyway, an Uber driver got beaten up. So if you get beaten up, it's like someone punches and kicks you. They assault you physically, bang, punching and kicking you until you're really badly injured. So to get beaten up, it's like to be not just punched once, but punched again and again until you're in a very sort of bad physical state. So an Uber driver got beaten up by an executive of Taco Bell. Taco Bell is a fast food restaurant. He was completely wasted and completely off his face. And these are words to describe when someone is drunk. If someone's wasted, it means they're drunk. They're really drunk. And if someone is off his face or off her face, it means that they are drunk as well. To be off your face or wasted, usually drunk, could mean wasted on drugs as well. Like, look at her, she's wasted. God, look at her, she's off her face. Off your face or off your head on drugs or alcohol. Yeah. Okay. All right. And he was slurring his words. He was slurring his words. Remember that one? If you're a long-term Lepster, I quite like that. If you're a long-term Lepster, then you might remember that phrase, to slur your words. That's from way back in, what, episode 5 about Joaquin Phoenix? He was slurring his words. I don't know if how many of you have listened to that? Okay, so slur your words. It's like when you're not speaking properly, probably because of alcohol. So it's like, I was just trying to call an Uber. I can't. My phone's run out of battery. I can't call an Uber. All right. Obviously, that person is really wasted. I don't know why. Sounding like Ozzy Osbourne, isn't it? I was just trying to call an Uber. I can't do it. No, is that? That wasn't Ozzy Osbourne. I can do a better Ozzy Osbourne than that. Come on. I was trying to call an Uber and I couldn't do it. And I don't know how it works. How does this Uber thing work? I don't understand it. All right, that was my attempt at Ozzy Osbourne. All right. So that was to slur your words. Okay. Next thing, there's something unjust about it. If something is unjust, it means it's unfair. It's not justice. There's something unfair about it. It ain't justice. It's unjust. Yeah. You're making a judgment call on the way someone looks or what someone does. If you make a judgment call, it means you're judging something or judging someone. It sounds good, though, doesn't it? You're making a judgment call on the way someone looks, which means that you're making a value judgment or you're judging the way someone looks. You're making a judgment call on the way someone looks. Okay, another one. You know, there was that whole thing about slut shaming. Was there a whole thing about slut shaming, Amber? Really? Anyway, a whole thing about slut shaming. You know what a slut is? A slut is a promiscuous girl or a promiscuous woman, a woman who sleeps around a lot. A slut or a slag. So slut shaming, I don't really know. I'm not that familiar with slut shaming, but I mean, I can pretty much guess that it's like naming people or identifying people as a slut. So if someone is being a slut, it would mean sort of like shaming them for doing it by sort of posting something on the internet to say, you know, Sharon's a slut. It's like slut shaming. Okay, it's obviously not a very fair thing to do. I mean, if she wants to be a slut, let her be a slut. You know, you don't need to shame her for it, do you? Maybe you do. I don't know if there's a case for that. Anyway, so the audiobook recommendation here was John Ronson's, the book by John Ronson called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And, you know, you can download that book from as an audiobook from Amazon. No, from Audible. audibletrial.com/teacherluke, or click one of the buttons on the website that says Audible, and you can, you know, test out their service for 30 days, and you can download any audiobook you want, and if you don't like it, you can cancel and keep the audiobook. All the details are on my website. You could get So You've Been Publicly Shamed, as you heard me mention in the episode. I talked about John Ronson's voice, and I said his voice is a bit off-putting at the beginning. If something is off-putting, it means it puts you off, all right? So, I don't know, let's say you're trying to take an exam, you're doing your English exam, but you can hear someone talking in the next room. So you're doing your English exam, and in the next room you can hear a teacher going,
well, the most important thing about the speaking part of the IELTS exam is that this is probably the most important thing I can tell you about IELTS. And listen carefully, this is going to be very important.
And you're thinking, oh God, that's really off-putting. I'm trying to focus on my exam. And that's really putting me off. That's really off-putting. Okay, so if something's off-putting, it sort of like, you know, makes it difficult to concentrate. So I said about John Ronson, I said his voice is a bit off-putting at the beginning, but he does really draw you into the story. And, you know, it takes a little while to get used to his voice. Like, it takes you about 5 minutes, to be fair, to get used to his voice. But then it's brilliant. And he's got a really great way of bringing drama into the story using his voice. So that's John Ronson. So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Okay, and that's the end of the language analysis section for word eight, shaming. And that's it for this part. Yeah, that's it for this part of the podcast. I'm now going to just like do the post-production on this episode. But you should be able to check out the next part, which will be part three in this series about the words of the year 2015. All right, what do you think? What do you think about the issues that you've heard in this episode? That could be, here are a few questions that you could respond to. Question number one, what do you think about the words that have been added to the dictionary? Do you think these words should have been added? If you don't think they should have been added, why? Why not? What do you think about that? Secondly, what do you think about what do you think about Tinder and you know, the way that Tinder or dating apps, like using the internet to do dating? How do you feel about that? And do you think that it's is it changing the way that we meet people? Is it changing relationships? Do you have Tinder? Have you used it? What do you think of it? Word eight was about shaming. What do you think about public shaming? Do you think that it's fair to shame people on Twitter or social networks? What do you think about that stuff? I mean, you've got shaming and there's trolling as well. Trolling, which is, the word's been around for longer, and that's just basically trying to make people angry, just being provocative, just saying rude things, or trying to offend people or make people angry by leaving, you know, rude comments in social networking sites. That's trolling. This is shaming. Do you think it's right to, do you think that Twitter is a good way of sort of publicly punishing someone for doing something wrong? What's your position on that? And do you know any examples of public shaming that have been in the news in your countries? Let me know your thoughts. As ever, go to teacherluke.co.uk and just leave a comment. Don't forget, you can edit your comments now. You get 5 minutes of editing time. Okay, that's the end of this episode. Speak to you again very soon. Thank you for being lovely, lovely people and listening all the way to the end. You are fantastic. You are like the super special, super duper wicked listeners. If you are an LEP ninja, and by that I mean one of those people who just hides in the shadows listening in comfort without actually commenting, then I would like to invite you to step forward into the light and leave a comment. Just let me know that you exist. You can then slide back into the background if you want. You can slide back into the shadows. But I'd like to invite the LEP ninjas, my stealthy secret listeners, to step forwards and let me know that you exist. Leave a nice comment or any comment, really. Hopefully it'll be a nice one. I imagine that the people who listen to this are generally nice people. I hope so. Right, so there you go. Speak to you again soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.